at least for one more time, turn to Romans chapter 5. I hadn't originally planned on doing this. And the reason is because in the beginning of this series from Romans 5, I did not feel I had the appropriate words to state what I felt in here. And I prayed and now I'm going to say it. I didn't find something. God gave me something. You know what it is? Open your eyes once again, revived once again, to see this word for what it says.
Right, exactly.
And when God opened your eyes to see this word for what it says and bow to it, it will be plain.
That's right.
Paul, in this chapter, uses the word all three or four times. And the word the many, it's not translated the many in the KJV, and I'm not here to go into why that's so, but he uses also the phrase the many several times, as well as the word many when he talks of many offenses. Now here's my title. And I realize probably we preachers often give titles just as some little thing to catch a person's attention. But my title sums it all up. The all in this passage we're talking about, Romans chapter 5. The all equals the many.
That's right.
You hear what I said?
Yeah.
The all equals is not one more than, nor one more less than,
right,
the many.
Right, exactly.
Now, having proclaimed efficacious reconciliation by Christ's death in verse 10, and having proclaimed the certain salvation of the reconciled by Christ's life in verse 10. Do you see that? Read it again. For if when we were enemies, not believers, he's writing to believers, but he's writing to believers about a time when they were not believers, when they were enemies. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So how were and when were we reconciled?
Yeah.
We were reconciled by the Son, and we were reconciled when he died.
Amen.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled. That is, the reconciliation having taken place, we shall be saved by his life. It's clear. Paul is clear. Everyone, all for whom Christ died, the many that he reconciled, were reconciled when he died. And every single one of them, though he doesn't use the words all and many in this verse, it's clearly evident, it is inferred without question, that those he died for, he reconciled, and those he reconciled shall be saved because he is alive.
Amen.
Yea, even more than that, even the reconciled's active reception of the reconciliation by Christ is declared by Paul.
Yes,
next verse. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the reconciliation.
Yes.
You see it?
Amen.
So having proclaimed that in unassailable language, don't try to run back to another chapter. You don't have to run anywhere else.
No.
Paul means exactly what the Spirit of God moved him to write. Having proclaimed that in unassailable language, Paul then goes on to show the veracity and the consistency of reconciliation by using the language of representation. Immediately then he says, verse 12, wherefore? The problem is we read verse 10 and 11 sometimes. The problem is we read verse 10 and 11, then we get to verse 12, and we think as though Paul's starting now up on another subject.
Right.
He says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And he would continue in verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, the many shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, right there where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. But then Paul, in the parentheses, is like saying, but hold it, let me back up just a minute and give you something. For until the law, verse 13, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude or the similarity of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, the many be dead, that's the way it actually reads, even in the majority text, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto the many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the language of representation.
Yes.
He has not left the subject of reconciliation. He is defining the veracity and the continuity or consistency, the flow of reconciliation by using the language of representation.
Yes.
Now there are two major trains of thought about these verses. There are others, but here are the two major trains of thought concerning these verses. Here's number one. And I will admit to you that for a long time I held to this number one. By my experience in talking with people, reading commentaries, and I have access to a whole lot of commentaries. Even though I don't have the books, Joe, I've got a little disc that has bunches of them on it. It seems as though this is the majority train of thought concerning these verses. Here's the majority thought. Here's the first one. Adam represented all without exception in his one sin. And thus all without exception sinned, died, were judged, were condemned, were made sinners, and in them all sin abounds through Adam. Both people of free will and people of free grace hold to this. That's right. People who hold to free will and free grace both hold to that. That statement of what I've just said, that kind of that summary of verses 12 through 21, they all hold to that thing. One is consistent with the all and the many, but abandons the truth that's taught here.
Yeah.
That's the free will folk.
That's true.
But there are free grace folk. Listen, there are free grace folk. The second group holds to the truth, but confounds consistency when it comes to the all and the many. And I tell you, if you hold to the first one, you're dead wrong.
Yeah.
And you probably don't even know God.
Yeah.
If you hold to the second one, you have done so because the first one has infiltrated your mind by nature, and you still can't get away from it, no matter how much you despise every drop of free will that may exist within you. Now, some of you may be thinking, what in the world is he talking about? All, without exception, are sinners by nature.
Yes, sir.
I'm giving you the truth now. All, without exception, are sinners by nature. All, without exception, died spiritually and are judged and condemned and are in the midst of abounding sin.
Yeah, you're right.
But Paul's not talking about that here.
No, not here.
He taught that in the latter part of chapter 1, all of chapter 2, and the first part of chapter 3.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Then he moves on to faith in Christ.
Yes, sir.
And then he starts, as he's often, he starts ascending up.
Yeah.
Faith is not the beginning. The beginning began with God back yonder.
Amen.
And flows this way. But Paul starts with faith after he's established, I have proved before that all are under sin.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he says? That's his actual words. And then he goes to show the veracity of faith.
Yeah.
But why does faith have any veracity? Because of reconciliation.
Right.
And how can reconciliation be consistent? If Christ only died for some, and that's the indication, because everybody he died for, he reconciled. Everybody he reconciles is going to be saved. And everyone that's done for, they're going to receive that reconciliation.
Yes, sir.
So where's the consistency? Right? Paul is showing the truth of the consistency here. So all without exception are sinners. They all died spiritually and are judged, condemned, and abounding sin. But Paul is not teaching that here. Here is what Paul writes in Romans chapter 5. And this is my summary. All that Christ reconciled, Christ did so by representation.
Yes, sir.
Representation doesn't start in verse 12. Representation, the doctrine of representation, technically starts in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for what? The ungodly. There's representation.
Yes, sir.
You see it? In other words, he stood in the place of an ungodly people. And he died for them. That's where it actually starts. So all that Christ reconciled, Christ did so by representation. And this was essential because, or wherefore, as by one man. You see it?
Yeah.
See how he's working his way now back. We're so prone, we're brought up this way. Our minds are taught this when we go to kindergarten or whatever it is now. And those first grade, we're taught from the ground up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Paul start, that's where we're starting. Start here and start building up. Paul actually starts at the end and works his way back to the beginning. That's what he's doing here. He says, wherefore, verse 12, they all, who all? What's the thing?
Yeah.
Those he died for. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Now, what does your mind, maybe not everybody here, but I know mine did, when I read that word world, and I go on to read, and death passed, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, I immediately then try to become universalistic and apply that to everybody.
Right.
Do you? You ever done that? It's not to say that that wouldn't be true, but that's not what Paul's talking about here.
There you go. Right.
Who is this all here?
Yeah.
Who's he been talking about? Those for whom Christ died.
That's exactly right.
Who's the world he's talking about here? Those for whom Christ died.
Yeah.
That's the world he's talking about. That's the all he's talking about here.
Right.
Let us be consistent and not just hold to the truth, dabble in it here and now. You know why? Because you'll confound yourself.
Yeah. Right.
They all, by Adam's one sin, they all sinned and spiritually died in Adam. Therefore, read it properly. For if when we were enemies, We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we keep saying the we. But we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now receive the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into, and then we start thinking about we and everybody else. He's still talking about we.
That's right.
Do you get that?
That's it.
Do you see? It is that simple. That's being consistent.
Yeah.
That's following the context.
That's exactly.
Therefore, he says, by one man's offense, God's judgment was to condemnation of this very all.
That's right.
Even so, by Christ's righteousness, the same all, the free gift came. And that's what he says in the next verse. If you take out the parentheses, that's the flow of the meaning. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. What all? All sorts of men. Rich men. Poor men. Males and females. Bond and free. David, black and white. Do you see it? That's the all. The all for whom he died. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. And let it even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon what? The same all. And yet I find myself trying to make those two alls different. You ever done that?
Yeah.
Now some of you will admit, a couple of you may have shook your head. Yeah, you have. Some of you have. You're trying to make the difference between this all and that all in the same verse. You read of thee many and of thee many in the same verse. You're trying to make a difference between them. How do I understand this? You're starting from the wrong point.
That's it.
That's why I misunderstood it for years.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because my mind loves to flow back to universalism. I don't care if you've been brought up under it or not. It is born into you by Adam.
Yeah, you're right.
By the very truth that we're talking about here. Free will is what we really love by nature. We don't love God by nature.
Exactly.
They, that is this all, they are the many made sinners by Adam, and it's the same the many who shall be made righteous by Christ. Right?
Yeah.
If you read that and not quit fighting with it, you'll see it right there.
Yeah.
See it right there. Therefore, verse 18, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men and the justification of life. For, as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall be the many be made righteous. He's talking about the same group of people throughout the whole chapter.
There you go.
The same all, the same many.
Yep.
The all equals in exact number the many. And when this dawned on me, I thought, Walter, what a spiritually ignorant dope you are. Been preaching for 32 years almost. Make me ashamed of myself, Joe. To them, Paul says, the law enters. And I remember that one?
Yeah.
From last Sunday? Yeah. To them, and them only, the law enters and the offense abounds. Oh, but thank God, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There, and there only is veracity and consistency. Right? There and there only.
You're right.
If not, if you take the other train of thought, if you're stuck in the other train of thought, I don't care whether you're free will or free grace, I don't care whether you're Arminian or Calvinistic, you're going to be confused. And look at some of your commentaries and see how confused the commentators are and how everybody tries to quote somebody else because they think it helps just a little bit rather than just reading it in context as Paul says it. And this is not inconsistent with the rest of the Scripture.
You're right.
It's not inconsistent with the forerunner John, is it? You remember John the Baptist, the forerunner? You remember what John the Apostle recorded that John the Baptist, the forerunner, said? Recorded in John 1, verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of who? The world. And took it away, not made it possible for it to be taken away.
Right.
Took it away. And he uses the word Mason, world. The same word right here, world. Now, is it true that all without exception, sin came into the world? And that all without exception died in Adam? That's certainly true. That's the preponderant testimony of Scripture. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking here about reconciliation by representation.
Yeah.
And he's talking about one group of people. They're called all, and they're called the many.
That's right.
That's what the forerunner John, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What did not even Christ himself say these words recorded by John the Apostle in John 12 and verse 42? And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw what? All men unto me. Correct? Now, we know that every single individual, without exception, has not been lifted up, or has not been drawn unto him. But he didn't say, if I be lifted up from the earth, then I will try to draw all. He said, if I'm lifted up from the earth, there's cause, I will draw all men unto me, there's effect. All men in what way? All without distinction. A poor man's got no advantage on a rich man. Oh, I know James says, God hath counted, chosen the poor of this world rich. But it's because God chose them, not because they're smarter than the rich.
Exactly.
A man got nothing over a woman when it comes to these things right here. It all comes from God Almighty. David, a white man, ain't got nothing on a black man when it comes to these things right here.
That's right.
Nothing. Nothing. It's all... If I be lifted up, I will draw all men. That's the same language Paul's using here in verse 12. And yet the mind wants to go back to some universalistic interpretation, right?
Oh, yeah.
Rather than taking Paul's word for what it says and staying in context. But wait a minute, what about Paul himself? As recorded by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19 specifically, where Paul says of Jesus Christ that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Right? So who's the world into which sin came that Paul's talking about in Romans 5:12? It's the world of the elect, the world of God's people, the world of those for whom Christ died, the world of those for whom he reconciled, the world of those that he's going to save, the world of those who will receive by him, receive that atonement. There it is. That's the all. That's the all. But even more than that, what Paul then declared in the parentheses confirms this even further. And here is where he first introduces the phrase, the many. Right? He starts with world and all in verse 12, but then in the parentheses, all of a sudden you start getting the many, Joe. Not the all. The all is then repeated again in verse 18, which is without the parentheses, which is the main train of Paul's thought. You see what I'm saying? The many is where it's first introduced. That's in the parentheses. Now, granted, the Greek didn't have parentheses like we do, but those who knew Greek understood that's what this was. It was a parenthesis. Now, here's the question. Why? Mason, isn't that what we talked about the other day? Why? Why all? Why the many? And you know what? Here's a very simple reason. But you know what? I ain't going to give that to you right yet. When you see why, you'll think, if you didn't see it before, you'll think, it's quite simple. But first, let's look at what was in parentheses. Number one, the lack of law did constitute a lack of sin's imputation. But it did not constitute a lack of sin's consequences.
That's right.
Death to all without distinction. That's still the thing here. Now, yes, death to all without exception happened in Adam, but that's not Paul's point here. He's done established death to all in chapters 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Now he's talking about those for whom Christ died, those he reconciled, those he represents.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And even though God had a people back then, Joe, and their sin was not imputed to them, yet they still had sin's consequences. And from Adam to Moses, what happened? Death reigned.
Amen.
You see it? For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. That's number one. But here's number two, the last part of that verse. Adam why is that there?
Yeah.
He says Adam figured Christ, not vice versa. Right? Look, who is the figure of him? That's Adam is the figure of him that was to come. What's that got in there? Is Paul just throwing in something fancy here? You know what he's talking about? We were represented by Christ before we were ever represented by Adam.
Amen.
Thus, the wherefore, verse 12, when Adam fell, what happened even to those who were God's elect?
Yeah.
They all, the whole world of them, they all fell in Adam.
Yes, sir.
They now must be rescued.
Yeah. There you go.
You see it? And Adam's the figure of Christ. Christ is not the figure of Adam. Yes, when it comes to his condescension, Adam is first. He's called the first Adam. But remember, the second Adam is the Lord from heaven.
Amen.
He was before Adam.
Exactly.
We were chosen in him before Adam ever was.
That's right.
And Mason, we were still chosen in him when God said about Adam, it's very good.
Yeah.
And we were declared. As a matter of fact, I could say all of humanity was declared very good. But then Adam fell, and all of humanity without exception fell in him. But right here, Paul's talking about even the elect of God, even God's people, even the beloved ones. They fell too.
Yes, sir.
We're not above them by election, because we fell with them. And the specific here is we fell. That's the whole point. We fail. We all fail. The whole world of God's people fail in Adam. Adam figured Christ, not vice versa. They all were represented by Christ before they were ever represented by Adam. Adam is the figure of Christ. Christ is not the figure of Adam.
Exactly.
Number three, the same all inferred in verses 10 and 11. Remember, it's inferred. He doesn't mention all or many, Paul, in verses 10 and 11, but it's clearly everyone Christ died for is reconciled, right? It's there.
Yeah.
Everyone reconciled is going to be saved by his life. Everyone in that state, they're going to receive that reconciliation by him.
Yeah.
By him. The same all inferred in verses 10 and 11, the same world and the same all mentioned in verse 12, they are the many that he mentions in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Though if through the offense of one, the many be dead. Much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto, and then he says, the many again.
That's right.
Same people, right?
Yeah.
Same people. Why? Now here's the why. You can say all. You're looking at the whole world. I mean the whole world without exception.
Yeah.
And you say all, but if your all is all without distinction, okay? And there's many alls in the Bible that doesn't mean all without exception. It means all without distinction. That's clear.
Right.
Even Arminians teach that concerning certain passages. They just won't teach it when it comes to passages like this.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, all the world's gone after him. No, all the world didn't go after him. Not all without exception, but all without distinction did. The good folks and the bad folks.
That's right.
Huh? That's what they were talking about. Even these lowlife critters has followed after him, as well as the good folk too. You see?
Yeah.
Why? Well, if you have the world, you talk about all, and you're talking about a specific all, that all could be a very small, insignificant number, could it not? If you've got a million, and the all you're talking about is five of them, that ain't much. Is it? But Paul wants to make this clear. This all is not a little, small, insignificant number. It's the many.
Amen.
See how simple that is?
Yeah.
It's the many. God's people ain't this poor little old handfuls.
There you go.
Joe read it. Number the stars of heaven. Number the sands on the seashore. Now, it's not that they are infinite, but you can't number them. You don't have the capacity, the ability, nor the time to number them. And let me tell you, God's people are not some poor, little, small, insignificant group. They're the many.
That's right,
man. You see what he's saying there? The many. Go back and read. What does it say? He shall... What? Let me turn it. I can't quote it. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 11, he shall see, that is, the Father shall see the travail of the Son's soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify just a poor little few. No, how many? Many! I mean, the book of the Revelation talks about this massive group that cries out hallelujah to God, and it's as the voice of what? Many waters. Like standing, I've never been there, but they say you stand at Niagara and get right up close to it, Mac, and it's almost deafening. The roar of that water. This is many, Joe.
Yes, sir.
It ain't some just little group. It's many. And you know what? It's that simple. It's that simple. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of what? Every tribe, every people, every kindred, every tongue, every nation.
Amen.
Mason, that's a many.
Yes, sir.
That's a many. A many. Oh, and you see, God's going to get to himself some good glory.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know, in our day and age, they say, well, it must be more than 50%. Especially if we live in this democratic country where we think you got to have more than 50% to really be on top. Huh? Now, don't it now? I don't care if it's 5%. It's many compared to everything.
Yeah, that's right.
When you gather them all together, it's many.
Amen.
I know sometimes... If you feel anything, sometimes I become discouraged. I look here, and, you know, we've got more that left than are here. I mean, we've actually had more people make professions of faith and leave here than we have stayed here. And I mean leave for bad reasons, not because of providence or whatever. I'm talking about leave because they didn't want to hear it no more.
Yeah.
More! But you know what? We're still many.
Amen.
We ain't by ourselves. What did you preach this morning on the radio, Joe? There's poor old, what was it? Who was it?
Elijah
there. Oh, I'm all left alone. And they're going to kill me. God said, I got 7,000 more. Now, if you're one, 7,000, pretty good group, ain't it? Huh? Many. Here's number 4. It was not just Adam's one offense Christ put away, but the many offenses of the many. Do you see it? And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For if the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses.
Yeah.
You see it? I don't care what your offense is. If he died for you, he died for all of them. You see? When I say many, I can still say all. Every sin you ever have, will, or shall commit, he's already put it away by the sacrifice of himself.
Amen.
It wasn't just Adam's fall that he dealt with. It's our own inner corruption and wickedness. Many offenses. That's joyful. Because I feel like I got many without you all being alongside of me. You understand? Comprehende? You get it? Many offenses. That's sweet news to a sinner who's got many offenses.
Yes,
that's sweet news to an ungodly person, is it not? Now, if you think you're pretty good and it's got a couple that needs a little tweaking, not too, I'm okay. My sins can't be tweaked.
That's exactly right.
They're too heinous. Judgment and condemnation is what God said fell on us in Adam.
Yes, sir.
But his love didn't vanquish. It wasn't vanquished. Mason, his love didn't begin to sort of dissipate, didn't it? His love was still right there.
Yeah.
For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, that is the many, so by the obedience of one shall the many be made righteous. And moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but bless God, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. This, and this only, presents veracity and consistency. I hope you see that. I hope you see that. Because when I did it, it's like that oasis in the desert. I'd never even been through a desert. I got lost one time in the woods and was gone for several hours from me and Roy Jr. and other fellows hunting. And that was scary enough. But when I seen that one person, you know what that was like? An oasis. And that guy, he wasn't Roy Jr. or the other fella. He was another fella hunting, and I'm sure this young boy coming through the woods whistling and hollering, he probably was quite perturbed at me, but I was very happy to see him. Just one man. An oasis. Tell me how to get home. I'm lost. Huh? Just one. This is an oasis. Veracity. Truth. Consistency. So true that I'll now want to read you the three or four verses. 2 Corinthians 5. Turn back to it and just listen as I read. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
And if you're in Christ, you know that I am not what I used to be. All of my sins all still there, but I'm not what I used to be. There's something different in me. There's something different about me. I think differently. I feel very much different about myself. Joe, even though I still do some of the same things that I'm ashamed of, now I'm ashamed of them.
Exactly.
Now I hate them. The things I used to hate, I love it now. Now, if that's not happened to you, you're lost.
There you go.
You're not in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your sin becomes something new to you, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's different. Takes on Joe a much more heinous light, at least. Christ is different to you. Verse 16, man knew him after the flesh before, but we don't know him after the flesh anymore. He's no longer just a historical figure. He's no longer just a personal Savior. He's the Lord God of heaven and earth.
Amen.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry, the service of reconciliation. That is to say, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You don't have to wait till you believe.
That's right.
Believing and not having your sins, your trespasses imputed to you, is for your benefit.
Yes.
This was for divine justice benefit here.
Yes, sir.
You see that?
Not
imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now remember what all that Romans chapter 5 says. There's a reconciliation. It's already taken place.
Yeah.
But eventually, all of them even what? Receive it. Right?
Yes, sir.
And God's ordained means in this reception. You don't just wake up one morning and all of a sudden you receive it. God will send you an ambassador. Mm-hmm. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though, he didn't say God is, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, lay down your arms now.
Yeah.
The battle's over.
Yes, sir.
Your sins are dealt with. Quit trying to deal with them yourself.
Exactly.
There's be you reconciled. Quit trying to make up for them yourself. Be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Folks, that to me is good news. I believed in free will religion for years. And Neil, I never had the comfort, never had anything close to the comfort that that message there brings my soul.
Yes, sir.
That lets me rest.
Yeah.
Really rest. Father, as we go our separate ways, be with us. Help us to be mindful of one another, prayerful for one another, and to help one another when we can. Lord, I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.